Hierdie inset word aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.
Jy luister na die ABBA-program Krag van die Bybel, Krag van die Woord van God. En hierdie program gaan juist daaroor oor hoe ek die Bybel lees en hoe kan ons die krag van die woord van die Here ervaar in ons lewe. En om dit te doen, luister ons na die Bible Project se potgooie en ons reflekteer self ook dan op hierdie program oor dieselfde gedeelte om dit in diepte te kan verstaan. Mens kan nooit elke keer wanneer 'n mens die woord lees, dan leer 'n mens weer nuwe dinge. En so werk die Here met ons. Sy woord is onuitputbaar. Maar dit is die lig vir ons lewe. So ons gaan luister na die podcast van die potgooi van Bible Projects en dit gaan vandag oor How is the eye the lamp of the body? Want ons is besig met die bergrede van Jesus in Matteus 5, 6 en 7. En ons is nou vandag by Matteus 6 vers 22 tot 23, maar hierdie woorde is soos 'n gedig, dit is alles so in mekaar geskakel. En om dit alles te verstaan, moet ons altyd die hele konteks kan verstaan. So bly ingeskakel, dwars deur die program, geniet die musiek en luister saam en reflekteer saam met ons. Die program word aangebied deur ABBA. Jy kan na die webwerf van ABBA gaan, abbo.org.za en gaan kyk na die verskillende kursusse en inligting wat jy daar kan kry. Of jy kan Marietjie skakel. Het sy vir inligting oor die kursusse of berading 084-501-1102. Jy kan ook inskakel by Kaapse Kansel telefoonnommer 021-180-5744. En dan sal jy deurgeskakel word om met 'n berader in vertroue en konfidensialiteit te gesels en saam te bid oor dit wat jou kwel op die oomblik, wat op jou druk, dit waarmee jy stoei en worstel. Ons gaan dan na die musiek inskakel op die potgooi van Bible Projects. Hulle gesels dan Tim en John oor hoe Jesus aan ons dit duidelik maak. Ons verhouding met geld en besittings moet wees en kan wees. En deur 'n raaisel eintlik wat hy vir ons gee, die oog wat die lamp van die liggaam is. 'n Verwysing na die algemene bekende metafoor in sy tyd, waarin om 'n slegte oog beteken dat iemand suinig is. Ja, dit is so. Dis hoe dit verstaan is. Deur te sê dat die oog die lamp van die liggaam is, beklemtoon Jesus dan volgens hulle hoe ons verhouding met ons besittings dan ons ware karakter, dit wat binne ons is, weerspieël. En Tim en John en Michelle gesels dan oor die moontlikhede wat vrygewigheid, 'n goeie oog, 'n helder oog, 'n eenkykige oog skep. En dit dan teenoor as ons vashou aan ons goed, wat eintlik dan veroorsaak dat ons in sekere sin letterlik of figuurlik alles verloor. Ons hart verloor. Bly ingeskakel by die program. Na die musiek luister ons dan na hierdie potgooi.
This is Bible Project Podcast, and this year we're reading through the Sermon on the Mount. I'm John Collins, and with me is co-host Michelle Jones. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, John. So we're in the part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus addresses our relationship with our stuff. He calls it our stored up things. And as it turns out, our relationship with our stuff determines a lot about our lives.
Right, if we store up a lot of wealth and possessions, then we're going to spend our time and attention worrying about those things and protecting those things. And ultimately, those things will let us down.
So store up a different kind of stuff, sky stuff.
Or more commonly, treasures in heaven.
Last week, we looked at how sky treasure isn't some future bank account we accumulate and have access to when we die. Sky stuff isn't really something we accumulate at all. It's meant to be spent. It's the time we spend with someone who's lonely. It's the generosity we extend to those in need. It's the moments when we connect heaven and earth together for ourselves and for others.
Yes. Store up that kind of stuff.
Be people who chase after sky stuff.
I love that.
So today, we move on to the next teaching about money. It's a riddle. And on its own, it feels kind of random and confusing, but in the context of generosity, it begins to make sense. The riddle starts like this. The lamp of the body is the eye.
Okay, so there's an inner light inside of me, and you can see it radiate through my eyes.
Yes. Here's Tim.
We look at each other's eyes because we have some sense that that's a focal point of the inner person that somehow comes out of you and meets me. Because I'm looking at you right now, and I see the light in your eyes.
If your eye is good, your whole body will be radiant. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be dark. And if the light inside you is darkness, oh, how great is that darkness?
That is a riddle.
And to understand that riddle, you need to look at the Greek word for what is translated usually as the good eye.
It's a wordplay. It has two possible meanings, and both are intended.
And we'll see that this riddle connects us to the beginning of the story of the Bible.
The core image assigned to God's infinite life and presence in Genesis 1, which is light. Human images of God are delegated lamps who can do what God does on day one, which is shine into the darkness.
So let's talk about good eyes, bad eyes, light and darkness. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, John. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
We're talking teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes, we are.
And yeah. We are in a section of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus turns his attention to money and relationships and what his perspective on money and relationships, which is kind of the whole ball of wax, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, that's true. How we relate to our money and possessions tells the truth about what we really value and believe. So Jesus has been exploring in the middle of the sermon about what a life that corresponds to the values of heaven looks like. A vision of life of doing right by God and neighbor, which he calls in chapter 5, the greater righteousness that fulfills the Torah and the prophets. That's what he's here to call his followers to. And he explored that by comparing it to the wisdom of the laws of the Torah. That was the whole section, chapter 5. He explored what it looks like expressed in three classic practices of religious devotion in first century Judaism of his day. Well, that was in generosity to the poor, prayer, and fasting. And now he's exploring what that greater doing right by God and neighbor looks like with regard to money and with regard to neighbor.
Well, we just looked at the a very classic statement that Jesus gave on money.
Yeah.
Do not store up treasure.
Yeah.
Or literally, don't store up the stored up stuff.
Yeah.
Don't treasure treasure.
Don't treasure your treasure.
Don't bank your bank on the land, which is our domain. Because here the moth and the eater will just have its way with it.
That's right. And it can get stolen and the banks can collapse and currencies can
devalue.
Yeah.
That happens.
That happens on the land quite often.
And that's why you have a hedge fund. There's ways to figure this out.
That's right. And then those collapse.
Oh.
So, but there is one bank you can count on, and that is the economy of heaven. But the thing is, the economy of heaven doesn't work like the economy of the land.
And he calls this the stored up things in the sky.
Treasures of heaven.
The treasures of heaven.
Yeah. That's right. So that was our last conversation, which maybe we could inadequately summarize by saying what we do with wealth of any kind is we're essentially investing in security and pleasure. But isn't that why we want to create stability?
Yes.
So we can have peace and pleasure in the present.
Yeah.
And count on the fact that we can keep having that peace and pleasure ongoing into the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're after. But the thing is that's all fleeting and very unstable. And what if what the new creation is infinite security, peace, and pleasure? But not pleasure in the way that we normally think of it as a zero-sum game for me and my crew, but because it comes from an infinite source of infinite goodness, that is our Heavenly Father.
All right. Sky treasure.
Sky treasure. If you really believe that that's true,
mm-hmm.
then your heart, to conclude, you know, where your treasure is, where your stored up things are, there your heart will be also. If that's really true, it will change your relationship to your land treasure.
Hmm.
And that's what the next image that Jesus goes on to talk about is all about. But he does it through a riddle. It's a riddle.
We're going to read a riddle.
We're going to read a riddle by Jesus about what it looks like to live as if your treasure is truly in the sky. The riddle goes like this. The lamp of the body is the eye. Assertion. Opening assertion.
Okay.
You are a body, right?
Yeah.
We all are a body.
Yeah.
All our bodies have eyes. And those eyes are like a lamp.
It's a metaphor.
It's a metaphor. Okay. The lamp of the body is the eye. So then, if your eye is haplus, it's a Greek word, it's a wordplay. It has two meanings, two possible meanings,
mm-hmm.
and both are intended, which is why all our English translations are going to differ a little bit, and it's hard to get the meaning if you read only one of them.
Okay. If your eye is haplus.
So one way is if your eye is whole, W-H-O-L-E, complete or whole.
And that's different than teleos, which we've also talked about. It's
different
word.
So we're going to talk about this word.
Yeah.
But whole meaning single, complete, or whole, which is the meaning underneath translations of this, English translations that say healthy or clear.
Mm.
So if your eye is clear.
Okay.
But haplus also means generous.
Mm.
So if your eye is whole / generous, then your whole body will radiate with light.
Okay.
But if your eye is bad, and as we're going to see, to have a bad eye is a synonym in Semitic languages for greedy or stingy.
Hmm.
So if your eye is bad / greedy, then your whole body will be darkness. And to make this even more high stakes, if the light that is in you is darkness, oh, how great is that darkness? That's the riddle.
Okay. Lots of riddles within the riddles.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So it begins with a metaphor that you're...
Yeah, the eye is a lamp.
The eye is a lamp.
The eye is a lamp. Yep. This is a very common metaphor in the ancient world.
So this isn't some new idea that Jesus is introducing?
No, no. He's appealing to a well-known figure of speech or metaphor. So, you know, we have our equivalents to metaphors about our bodies that are helpful in some ways but not helpful in others. The mind is a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some ways in which that's true, yeah. But other ways
in which it's that. Not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we're thinking of is, I don't even know how silicon works in like a computer chip. I actually really don't know how it works. I should watch an explainer video. But there's something happening with little electromagnetic,
yeah,
right, impulses that are firing,
yeah,
that gets translated through circuits into electrical pulses we can imagine metaphorically as having numerical value.
Sure. I don't know.
But the point is that there's some analogy between what's happening in the electromagnetic pulses going through silicon and the electromagnetic pulses happening through synapses in our brain.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
There's a similarity and lots of difference.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's an inadequate metaphor, but it's so...
It's helpful.
It's helpful enough.
But don't take it too far.
Don't take it too far. But it's helpful enough to make some interesting observations.
Yeah.
in similar way, the eye is a lamp is a metaphor like that in the ancient world and in ancient Jewish culture.
Yeah. Well, in the ancient world, lamps were a lot more important than they are now.
Are they? Were they more important than now?
When's the last time I've used a lamp?
You don't call your lights lamps?
No.
Turn on the lamp.
Are you joking with me? The lights. Turn on the lights.
Well, also that. But when we have a little end table mm-hmm. by our couch.
Oh.
On the end table. The thing. With a shade.
I do call that a lamp.
Lamp.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, lamp.
I do call it a lamp.
And then you call the shade. You don't call it a light shade. Right?
You're right.
You call
You're
it
right.
a lamp shade. It shades the lamp.
But you know what? I know that's called the lamp, but I think in our house we just call it a light.
The light.
Go turn off the light.
Go turn off the light.
Yeah.
Turn off the lamp. You know, we have a lamp on our couch end table that we've had, I don't know, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And the base of it has a cast bird of some kind, like a dove.
Yeah.
So for the 20 years, we just call it the bird lamp. So that maybe is why lamp is in my mind too, because that refers to a thing that's been in my life for half my life now. So the bird lamp.
Bird lamp.
Anyway, the eye is a lamp. That's okay. the metaphor. So in the Hebrew Bible, which was like bedrock of Jesus' imagination of vocabulary, the phrase light of the eyes or lamp of the eyes is a common phrase. Proverbs 15:30, the light of the eyes brings joy to the heart. Ooh, there's a story in the Samuel scroll where Saul's soldiers are on a march from one battle to another, and they're all super hungry.
Uh-huh.
And Jonathan, Saul's son, finds a downed honeycomb, like on a downed tree branch.
Mm.
And he takes his spear and jabs his spear into the honeycomb and pulls it out, and it's dripping with honey.
It's an ancient popsicle.
Totally. And then he's just licking it. And then it says his eyes were filled with light.
Okay.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
So honey brings light to the eyes.
Hmm.
So to have bright eyes is a sign of vitality, energy. Oh, when I talk to you, I look you in the eyes.
Yeah.
That's a normal human behavior. Mm-hmm. It's weird if someone doesn't look you in the eyes when they're talking to you.
If they're looking at your nose or something.
Yeah. You can kind of notice.
You do notice.
Yeah. Why is that?
Someone's inner life.
Yeah.
In a way, like we have access to it through their eyes.
You got it. The eye is the lamp of the body.
Lamp.
Your eyes can lighten. This is interesting. Whenever God appears to someone in a vision or a trance or a dream in the Hebrew Bible, and if God's eyes are ever depicted, they're always projecting light, specifically fire.
Yeah. And wasn't this also a common way the ancients thought that sight worked, I think?
Oh, yeah.
That you actually were sending out?
Exactly. So we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that in a minute. So the point is that the eyes are either a source or a location of light or darkness. He's working with Genesis 1 imagery here. Mm-hmm. So God is the ultimate source of light, right, that shines in the darkness.
Uh-huh.
And so human images of God are also.
Little lamps.
Yep. But also can become a center of the absence of light, too.
So our inner lamp is projected out of our eyes.
Yes. Okay. Here's what I do. I'm going to press pause on that idea.
All right.
Because that takes us down a rabbit hole I want to go down.
Okay.
But I want to also note quickly the other main figure of speech that Jesus is activating here.
Okay.
And that is the good eye or the evil eye. And here we need to come to the meaning of this word. Do you remember I said Jesus says, if then your eye is haplus?
Haplus.
And that word has two meanings. And the two meanings are both intended.
Okay.
Okay. So what he says, and he contrasts the good eye and the bad eye. If your eye is haplus, it's full of light. If your eye is bad, it's full of darkness.
Okay.
So when he says your eye is haplus, this is helpful and unhelpful. This saying of Jesus is the only time this particular word is used in the whole Greek New Testament.
Okay.
So usually that signals like, oh, okay, we got to turn to some other extra New Testament sources to figure out what this word means. So what you do is you turn to the standard Greek English lexicon of ancient Greek literature by Liddell and Scott. It's a massive, it's huge, huge volume. It's really amazing. If you look up haplus, it's used in other Greek literature and has three main nuances of meaning. The first is single, one as opposed to two.
Okay.
Yep, single as opposed to multiple.
Okay.
It also has the nuance of meaning of simple, meaning plain or straightforward, not complex.
All right.
And the third nuance of meaning is simple, as in whole or complete, not unmixed or made up of parts.
Okay.
So it's the opposite of divided or double or multiple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When you talk about as unmixed, mm-hmm. you kind of start to get into the territory of like pure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If the eye is pure. Mm. And remember, the pure in heart will see God in the Beatitudes.
Oh.
Bless him, right?
What word is that?
How good is life for the pure of heart. There it's actually clean as opposed
okay.
to dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this idea connects with another word Jesus uses in the sermon to refer to complete or whole, which is teleos, which is often translated as perfect. So that's interesting. Also interesting is while the word haplus doesn't appear elsewhere in the New Testament, a different word that comes from the same root does appear, haplotes. And this word is also difficult to translate, but I'll just read you some verses where it appears.
Okay.
This is Romans 12, verse 8, where Paul is giving ethical wisdom to the Roman churches, and he says, let the one who gives, give with haplotes. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. Their abundance of joy and their deep poverty, he's talking here about the Macedonians, overflowed in wealth of their haplotes. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let them ask of God who gives haplotes, and it will be given to him. So
it's a way that you give.
Yeah, it's a manner in which you generously give.
Okay. How's that related to singularity or
yeah.
wholeness?
Yeah, exactly. So one way of saying we might translate that is generously.
Mm-hmm.
Let the one who gives give with generous intent.
Mm-hmm.
But it literally means with singularity, singular purpose.
Okay, singularity, yeah.
A simple, uncompromised.
Sincere?
Sincere. Yeah, sincere. Mm. Yeah. Mm. It's hard to find an English word that does what this word does in Greek.
I love the word sincere.
Yeah, sincere. And it's kind of to the purity of heart. So, okay, so that's one way we can angle in. If your eye is haplus, so whole or complete, so it could mean whole or healthy if we're going with the metaphor of the eye as some conveyor of light.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about actually ultimately is wealth.
Right.
How do we know that? Well, what's the contrast that Jesus uses? If your eye is haplus, your body's full of light. If your eye is, and here he just says, bad.
Raw.
Yeah, in Greek, poneros, which is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word raw, which means bad. And here we're on really good territory where in the Hebrew Bible, to have a good eye or to have a bad eye is a figure of speech for to be generous or to be stingy.
Okay.
So Proverbs 22, verse 9, the one who is tov of eye, good of eye, will be blessed because he gives his food to the poor.
Hmm.
Proverbs, this is great. Proverbs 23, starting verse 6, you know, you should never eat bread, that is, never have a meal, with somebody who has a bad eye. Do not desire his delicacies.
Hmm.
For he's thinking as he thinks within himself, so he really is. He might say to you, yes, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you.
Huh. Okay.
So someone has you over for dinner.
If they're a greedy person,
mm-hmm.
they're all about just accumulating, what can I get out of you?
Mm.
It might feel like I'm being hosted generously,
mm-hmm.
but really, I'm going to be taken advantage of.
Yep. That's one way to think about it. Another way, if we're thinking about generosity or stinginess, is straight up, you're eating my stuff.
Oh.
Like, I have so much food in my store.
Go ahead, have some more.
Yeah.
Look at
come
this
on.
Guy.
Come on. Who's never been in this situation where you have people over?
Yeah.
And you're excited until they're like eating more than you thought they were going to eat.
Yeah.
And there's like less leftovers for you tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on, this has happened to everybody.
Oh, yeah, especially in like college or early adulthood.
Yeah. Yeah. So that mindset is called having a bad eye.
Hmm.
The good eye versus the bad eye.
Hmm.
Yeah. So Proverbs 28:22, the one with the bad eye rushes after wealth, but he doesn't know that poverty will eventually come upon him.
Hmm.
So the stingy person is grabbing everything they can, unaware of the fact that they're going to lose everything eventually. And actually, this phrase, the bad eye, is used elsewhere in a parable that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Matthew. And it's in the parable of this employer who pays all these workers the same amount of money for working different amounts. So one guy's worked a whole day, one guy's worked half a day, quarter day, eighth of a day, and he pays them all the same. And the guys who worked all day are like, what? That's not fair. And he says, what? Are you jealous because... Oh, he says, is your eye bad because I'm generous? Mm. That's what he says to them in Greek.
Like, are you showing your stinginess, basically? Yeah.
So, yeah, is my generosity exposing the fact that you have a bad eye?
Mm.
So let's go back to the saying, to the riddle here.
Okay, the riddle.
The lamp of the body is the eye. And we'll return to the little rabbit hole about that. But if your eye is...
Haplus. Sincere.
Sincere, whole, complete, that is generous.
Which is used often as a way to describe the way that you give generously.
Having the good eye. If your eye is good, your whole body will be radiating with light. But if your eye is bad, that is greedy, your whole body will be darkness. But okay, let's flip it, because I'm not going to accuse you of being stingy, because you're not. You're actually a very generous person, John.
Oh, thank you.
So I feel like I can be stingy sometimes.
Okay. You're going to throw yourself under the bus here?
Yes. So you are looking at me, because presumably you're seeing the light of my eyes.
Yeah.
But if in reality, my good eye that you can see it projecting light is in fact a bad eye, stingy, then the light that you think that I have is actually darkness. And dude, if the light is really dark, that's a bad situation. That's like double dark. Do you get the riddle?
I mean,
if the light in you is in reality,
I see. Because
dark, it's like, dude, I'm like double dark.
I don't get the double dark, but
double darkness.
but I think what's landing to me is, you know, it's hard to tell if someone really is generous on the surface.
Yeah.
Because you can meet someone, there can be a radiance in them, they could be very charming, but they could be a con.
That's what that proverb was about. You're over at their house and they're saying, eat and
drink. Yeah, eat, enjoy.
But inside,
all
they're thinking is like, dude, he's had three helpings and I won't have leftovers tomorrow.
So what I'm experiencing is, I'm seeing the light from that person, but actually it's not light.
Yeah.
In there is darkness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So I get that. So if the light that I'm perceiving is actually darkness, how great is the darkness?
How great is that darkness? Because it's like darkness masquerading as light.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's sneaky darkness.
It's sneaky darkness masquerading as light. And here we're back to... Again, I said earlier, the Beatitudes of how good is life for the pure of heart.
Mm.
They will see God.
Mm.
So a sincerity of desire and motive. When Jesus says, be teleos, be complete and whole as a human image of God, because God is complete and whole, goodness, life, and love. So we're back to it again. But here, the pure, sincere light of a good eye, the generous eye, is an image of God's generosity. And if I am acting as if I'm generous, but in reality, my eye is bad, it's like I'm doubly deceived.
Darkness masquerading as light is like a great darkness.
How great is the darkness? So here, this is core to a biblical imagination, light and dark. It's right there on day one of creation.
Yeah.
So light is the primary image of divine presence. And of divine generosity and care, because for humans to flourish requires light and periods for life, all bios in our solar system, in our universe. If humans are alive, then they are by definition illumined by God's life and light, because every moment and molecule is. But man, if you take the light that you are as an image of God and actually project that out as darkness through stinginess. It's just like the ultimate tragedy.
Okay.
The ultimate tragedy.
Mm.
How great That's is good. That darkness?
How great is that darkness? Because you do have a light. Yeah.
If the light,
and if you use that light to be stingy, which is just creating darkness,
closing off possibility.
How great is that darkness?
Yeah. Double darkness.
Whoa.
Okay. So let's pause. and go down that little rabbit hole I keep alluding to.
Okay.
So the metaphor seems at first like it means that light is from the body going out, the inner vitality going out.
That I can perceive in someone else because it's beaming out.
But then he says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be dark. How can the light within you be darkness? That's the paradox of the third line. But just that second line by itself, if your eye is bad, then the whole body is dark. If you just take that line by itself, it makes it feel like, oh, if your eye's bad, it won't let any light in. Your body's dark. A bad eye will cut off any light from being able to be inside.
Oh, that's not how I was understanding it.
Oh, well, good. I mean, I think that's good. But there are people who have thought that.
Oh, okay.
So the view that the body's the source of light and the light projects out, the nerdy term is called the extramission view.
Okay.
It's Latin. It sends it out.
Yeah.
Extra, outside, missio, to send, send out. The view that the eye is like a conduit for light or darkness that's outside and that can come in and make me light or dark inside, that's called the intramission view. It sends the light in.
I mean, I don't know why this feels so intuitive. A dark lamp is a lamp that's not lit.
Yeah.
And so he's saying you can be that kind of person, an unlit lamp.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Okay. I agree with you, but what you're saying is you hold to the extramission view. That the
I'm
light,
on the extramission camp of things.
I mean, that's great, and I think you're right, and actually, I mean, here I'm just showing my cards that I think that's what Jesus is saying. In other words, the lamp is not a conduit through which light passes from one source to another. It is itself the light.
It's the light.
It's the source of the
light. The lamp is the light.
And that when Jesus is saying the body can be either light or dark, he's making the metaphor into a paradox. Because if the light is actually darkness, then did it the double darkness. I just wanted to note that if you look up in commentaries, like for the meaning of this riddle, what you'll notice is there's been a debate throughout history.
The extramission, intramission debate.
So here, Jonathan Pennington, his book, Sermon on the Mount, Human Flourishing, which I've quoted from a lot in the series, and we've gotten to hear from him because he's awesome. He puts it this way. He says, within Matthew's usage, you could argue that there's a strong internal, external person theme at play here with the idea that the light or darkness inside a person comes out in their actions. Mm. Like Jesus says elsewhere, it's what's already inside a person.
Yeah.
That defiles them, not what goes in or what goes out, because that's where their heart is. Pennington continues, this would accord with the extramission view. On the other hand, you could argue that the way the eye metaphor works is that one's actions create within us light or darkness based on the wording, the body will be light or the body will be dark. This could infer an intromission understanding. There's wisdom in not getting stuck in the debate. Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. Recognizing that either way, the point is that the eye is a metaphorical window between the inside and the outside, which is a major theme in the sermon.
Yeah.
This deep organic connection between the inside and the outside of the person and the necessity of wholeness as a demonstration of true righteousness. And so that's really what's at the core here.
Yeah.
Jesus's focus is how do you know if someone's treasure is truly in the sky? Well, sky treasure, according to Jesus, means that you'll be really generous with your land treasure because you don't think that your land treasure actually gives you ultimate security. To bring it back to like our table metaphor from earlier, This happens to me on a has happened to me before. I was about to say regular basis, but that's not true. But it has happened before where we have like a big group over and we buy a lot of food for the group.
Yeah.
And I'm so selfish, man, because what I'm thinking when I go buy a bunch of food for a lot of people coming over, I think in my mind,
this is all my food.
Like, sweet. Like, the leftovers from this are going to be great.
You know where I experience this the most is when we're out to dinner and my wife wants to split meals, you know? Like, hey, why don't we?
Yeah.
Why don't?
By two plates, but then we are eat
we'll
off
share.
Each other's
we'll
plate.
We'll get the salad and we'll get the thing and then we'll split it.
Yes, totally.
And it's like,
I know.
But then we're going to have to, then it's on.
Totally. So what that shows is my treasure's on my plate right there. Yeah. I'm trusting in the plate treasure.
Yeah.
And if I really trusted that, you know what, after we have all these friends over or after the plate's empty, we could order another plate. Or I can go back to the grocery store and get the food for next week's lunches.
But what if you spent all your money on that?
Well, okay, I'm turning this into a parable.
Yeah.
So pretend that that's...
In the economy of God, there's always more. There's always enough.
Always more.
Okay.
And so what that does is it frees me to say, you know what, there will be enough.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's trusting in my Heavenly Father that He will provide me what I need for next week's leftovers, that I don't have to hang on or have a bad eye and say, eat and drink to my friends at the party. But in reality, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, like they're having the third serving.
This also shakes down to just wishing people the best and success in life sometimes, you know, because... Sometimes it feels like, man, if you're doing well in your job, or if you got that opportunity, that's one less opportunity out there for me. So I'll be excited for you. Congratulations. But inside I'm just like, darn it.
Yeah, that's right.
Why did you get
that? That's good. So notice the core image assigned to God's infinite life and presence in Genesis 1 with light.
I think that's beautiful. And I've been thinking about this as we've been talking about it, that... I mean, we are the image of God. Nowhere explicitly in that text are we called a light. We're called the image of God.
That's right, yeah.
But here, all of a sudden, we realize like, well, in a similar way, we have a lamp. We are a lamp as well.
That's right. So, in other words, human images of God are delegated lamps who can do what God does on day one, which is shine into the darkness. Yeah. The darkness is where there's no opportunity. There's no potential. It's formless and void, wild and waste. But the light all of a sudden shines and creates a canvas, as it were, where there can be form, abundance, and flourishing. And how one casts one eye on a neighbor can either shut off possibility for flourishing and abundance or can open up opportunities. And that's the metaphor here, which is so suggestive.
Yeah.
The generous eye creates possibility. If I say, eat and drink to my neighbor, and I really mean it, then all of a sudden, this like meal becomes a bond of a friendship. And out of friendships come, who knows what can come out of a friendship.
Yeah.
But how great is that light if the light is haplus, clear or generous?
And we've experience these kind of people, like you know those kind of people, like where there is a radiance about them.
That's right.
And it does come from a generosity, from a single focusedness. You're really good at this, Tim, of when someone's talking to you, you just are present with that person. Oh, I don't know, you work on that?
Now you're giving me a compliment. thank you. Thanks.
Is that something you have to consciously like work on or is that just innate?
You know, it was just years in local church ministry where I realized that the greatest gift I can give to someone is to just focus my attention on them and listen and ask questions. I just noticed that, like, that really was a powerful experience for me and for people when I did that. So I don't know.
A moment of generosity. I mean, it's a generous thing to do. Is to say, there's 100 things I could be thinking about. There's many things just around me, but I am going to singularly focus my attention here and now on this, and nothing else is going to matter for a moment.
Yeah,
it's really hard to do, and it's a very generous thing to do. I'm really bad at it. Like really, really bad at it.
Okay, but between us, we've got a superhero.
There we go. Let's just combine forces.
That's right. So when you meet somebody who's both generous with their attention and generous with whatever resources they have, regardless of what it actually corresponds to, like great or small amounts of wealth, these are humans you want to be around. They radiate with light. They're images of God.
Hmm.
And that's the promise of this riddle.
Hmm.
This is powerful stuff, man.
So, Michelle, I love this image that I'm getting of the type of person who is just so full of life. You know these people. It's like their eyes are full of light. They see possibility everywhere.
Kids are like that.
Hmm.
When they look at things and they can see everything that it could be.
Hmm.
When I was a kid, my first memory is actually of seeing a really tall tree and thinking, I gotta climb that thing.
Yes. Everything is a possibility.
Yeah, I don't think that way when I look at trees now.
Yes. Well, will God give us an eye of abundance as we look at the world?
So that's it for today's episode. Next week, we're going to bring you more voices and more stories as we continue on with Jesus' teaching on money. In particular, we're going to look at the teaching, you can't serve God and mammon.
Jesus is going to follow up with another short parable that we're going to consider after this, which is about you can't have two rulers that you give your allegiance to. You got to pick one, God or mammon.
Bible Project is a nonprofit. We exist to help people experience the Bible as a unified story that leads to Jesus.
Everything that we make is free because of the generous support of thousands of people just like you.
Thank you for being a part of this with us.
Hello, my name is Abraham Sanchez from the Dominican Republic.
Hi, my name is Amani Abdennour, the Khaliji Gulf Language Advisor at the Bible Project.
I work as a designer and animator for the Spanish language team, Proyecto Biblia. Being able to have a role in bringing all this amazing content into my native language has been a huge blessing.
I was thrilled to be part of the Bible Project team, and this enabled me to fulfill God's vision, that is to reach out and share the gospel message to GCC countries in their own Khaliji language.
We believe the Bible is a unified story that leads to Jesus. Bible Project is a crowd-funded nonprofit.
Everything we make is free because of your generous support.
Thank you so much for being a part of this with us.
Hi, this is Tyler, here to read the credits. John Collins is the creative producer for today's show. Production of today's episode is by producer Lindsay Ponder, managing producer Cooper Peltz, producer Colin Wilson. Stephanie Tam is our consultant and editor. Tyler Bailey is our supervising engineer. Frank Garza and Aaron Olson edited today's episode. Aaron Olson also provided the sound design and mix for today's episode. Nina Simone does our show notes, and Hannah Wu provides the annotations for our app. Original Sermon on the Mount music by Richie Cohen, and the Bible Project theme song is by Tense. Tim Mackey is our lead scholar, and your hosts, John Collins and Michelle Jones.
Jy is ingeskakel by die ABBA-program Krag van die Woord. Ek is Marius Skalekamp. En ons gesels dan nou nadat ons na hierdie heerlike potgooi geluister het van Bible Projects, waar Tim dit so duidelik bring oor wat beteken dit dat die oog die lamp is van die liggaam. Maar ons moet eintlik ook binne ons eie kultuur en ons eie konteks ook hierna kyk en binne die konteks van die woord van die Here dit gee. Kom ons lees dan net weer hierdie woorde om net saam daaroor te dink. En toe die Here het dan net vertel van waar is jou skat in die hemel of daar waar mot en roes verniel. En dan druk hy dit ons op die hart, maak julle skat by mekaar waar mot en roes nie verniel nie in die hemel. Waar diewe nie inbreek en steel nie. Waar jou skat is, daar sal jou hart wees. En dan die woorde wat ons nou vandag saam oordink. Die oog is die lamp van die liggaam. As jou oog suiwer is, sal jou hele liggaam verlig wees. Maar as jou oog boos is, sal jou hele liggaam donker wees. As die lig in jou donker is, hoe groot is die duisternis nie? Matteus 6 vers 22 tot 23. En dan kom ons lees net die volgende vers ook, want dit is in daardie konteks wat die Here dit gee. Niemand kan twee baase dien nie, want hy sal of die een haat en die andere een lief hê, of hy sal aan die een loyaal wees en die ander een verag. Julle kan nie God en Mammon dien nie. Dit is Matteus 6 dan vers 24 en ons gaan volgende week baie meer intens ook hierna kyk, na wat beteken dit. Kom ons kom dan terug na hierdie woorde van Jesus, hierdie, soos Tim hulle dit noem, raaisel wat die Here gee, die oog wat die lamp is van die liggaam. Jy weet, as ek hierdie lees, die hele bergrede, soveel van die woord, dan klink die woorde so helder en so mooi dat die mens aangaan om te lees. Vir al die saligsprekinge klink ook so, geseend is jy. Dat die mens het na die volgende lees en nie stop en dit oordink nie. Reflekteer, mediteer. Want dit is wat dit bedoel is om te wees. Nie dat die mens sê, maar ek het hierdie hele hoofstuk gelees en hierdie klomp verse nie. Maar om stadig te gaan en te reflekteer hierop. Hierdie woorde van Jesus, dit klink soos, dit is ook poesie. En ek het dit self ook baie lank gelees en ja, dit klink mooi, maar nie gestop om te sê, maar wat beteken dit regtig? Wat verstaan ek wanneer die Here dit sê? Praat Jesus hier van die lig wat inkom van buite deur jou oog na binne, of die lig wat inkom van jou binne na buite, jou binneste, of die lig van die wêreld buitekant, mense en dinge, of die lig wat in jou hart is, jou denke, jou binneste, jou gees. Albei hierdie is moontlik in hierdie konteks, vooral wanneer een mens die hele bergrede lees en Jesus' woorde sien. Die belangrike hier, as dit ons verstaan, dat die oog een venster is, wat dit wat van binnen inkom, van buiten die wêreld, en wat uitgaan vanuit jou eie hart, jou binneste, jou oog wys dit. En, ja, die mense sê, maar hulle kan dit nie sien nie, maar een mens kan duidelik sien wanneer jy hartlik in iemand se oog kyk. Wanneer hy praat, of sy praat, of wanneer hulle iets doen, wat is daar binne? Jy kan dit nie precies beskryf nie, dit is so, denk ek, een halve boodskap, maar is duidelik. Hier is iets verkeerd, of hier is iets reg. Die oog sê vir jou, wat binnen is. En mens leer ook, wanneer jy met mense werk, ook interaksie hee, hoe om te kyk na die oog. Hoe om te verstaan, wat lê achter die woorde, wat iemand gebruik, of doen. Jesus wys ooral in die bergrede, dat dit wat jy doen in hierdie wêreld, en dit wat in jou hart is, met mekaar verbind is. En dit beteken dan toch dat ek en jy nie net slagoffers is van die wêreld buiten ons nie, van ander mense nie. Hoewel hulle ons kwaad kan aandoen, ja. Hoewel slegte dinge kan gebeur met ons, ja. Maar dit wat ons doen en sê, wat een reaksie, een respons is op dit wat van buiten inkom, dit kom uit ons eie hart uit, ons eie denke. En nou kan ek nie sê, maar jy het my hart sleg gemaakt nie. Nee, dit kom uit my eie hart uit. Dis wat die Here vir ons duidelik maak in die hele bergpredikasie. Die vraag is, uiteindelik, wat is in jou en my hart? En die Here sê, daar waar jou skat is, dit wat vir jou belangrik is met ander woorde, daar sal jou hart wees. Dit bepaal hoe jy optree, jou gedrag en jou respons. Ja, ek weet dit is baie gesê, maar dit is waarheen die Here ons lei om te verstaan wat binne in my is. Kom uit as lig of donkerte deur my oog. As 'n venster. Natuurlik ook deur my dade, my hande, my voete, my mond. Maar die oog is so 'n weergawe van dit wat binne in my is, wat binne my gebeur. So, wat doen ons dan en hoe kyk ons? Wat is in ons hart? Is daar die geregtigheid wat ons ontvang het deur die geloof, die geregtigheid van Jesus, sy regte lewe, wat God aan ons gee, en die Heilige Gees wat hy in ons uitstort, ons vul, sodat ons dan weet ons is kinders van die Here, dat ons hom noem Abba, my papa, my Here, my Vader. En ons gees, met ander woorde, een is met die Heilige Gees. Dis wie ek is. En dit verander nooit nie. Niemand kan dit wegneem nie. Kom ons illustreer dit net deur 'n ander skrif gedeeltes net te gaan kyk, net een of twee. Dit is terwyl van ons gesprek ook hier. Want dit is so belangrik dat ons dit verstaan wat Jesus vir ons hier gee. In Efesiërs 5 vers 8 tot 9 lees ons dit. Paulus skryf, want vroeër was julle wel in duisternis, maar nou in die Here is julle lig. Julle, wie jy is. Jy is mens. In die Here is jy lig. Nie in die eerste plek as gevolg van wat jy doen en sê nie, maar dit wat in jou hart is. Die Here wat in jou is. Die Gees wat in jou woon. Johannes 1 vers 5 en vers 7 beklemtoon ons net hierdie woorde. God is lig. Daar is geen duisternis in hom nie. Maar as ons in die lig leef, soos wat hy in die lig is, is ons aan mekaar verbonde en reinig die bloed van Jesus, sy Seun, ons van elke sonde. Johannes sê dus, dan is jy lig. Die kwaad is weggeneem. Ja, hy wys net na hierdie verse daarop, dat wanneer jy sondig bely dit, want die Here het vir jou gesterwe. Maar hy beklemtoon ook, jy is God se kind. Ons is God se kinders. En dan kom dit na buite in dit wat ons sê en doen. Uit hierdie gedeeltes en elke bladsy van die woord, is dit baie duidelik dat die lig in ons die Here self is, die Heilige Gees. Hy is lig. En hierdie woorde van Jesus dan, die oog is die lamp van die liggaam. As jou oog suiwer is, sal jou hele liggaam verlig wees. Maar as jou oog boos is, sal jou hele liggaam donker wees. Kom ons reflekteer dan, nou ons weet nou wat die Here gesê het, dat in ons is daar lig, en dit sal uitstraal dan deur ons oë, dit sal lig wees, ons sal op daai manier, op die lig manier, kyk na die wêreld. Kom ons reflekteer verder hierop na die musiek. Bly ingeskakel. Jy is ingeskakel by die ABO-program Krag van die Woord. Wanneer Jesus hierdie woorde gebruik, die oog is die lamp van die liggaam. As jou oog suiwer is, sal jou hele liggaam verlig wees. Maar as jou oog boos is, sal jou hele liggaam donker wees. Dan is die vraag natuurlik, maar hoe is my oog? Kyk hy reguit met een visie of kyk my oog dubbel? Dubbelvisie. Sal met in die pot gooi van Bible Projects verwys na die Griekse woord haplous. Die woord wat Jesus hier gebruik, volgens Matteus, dit is belangrik om net vir 'n oomblik weer terug te kyk na hierdie woord. Want die woord waarmee dit vertaal word in die verskillende Afrikaanse vertalings, meneer praat van al die ander vertalings, die Engelse en sovoort nie, maar net in Afrikaans word hierdie woord vertaal met party vertalings, jou oog is reg, hy is goed, hy is suiwer. Drie verskillende woorde, en dit is nie eens al die Afrikaanse vertalings nie. Dit is nogal moeilik om die regte Afrikaanse woord te kry vir wat haplous in die Grieks dan beteken. Maar dit beteken letterlik enkel soos een enkelvoudige kyk. Die teenoorgestelde van diplous, wat dubbel tweeledig beteken. Wat die Here hiervan praat, jy het een kyk, een heel kyk, heel, soos een whole kyk. Ek het nogal 'n interessante ervaring gehad, toe ek 'n paar jaar gelede my oogse lense moes vervang. Nie die brilse lense nie, my eie oogse lense. Want die een lens is vervang, ek het die keuse gehad, maar die een lens het ek vervang met, en toe hier is nou nie mediese raad nie, dis maar my keuse. Die een lens is vervang met nabykyk lens, en die ander lens is vervang met 'n verkyk lens. Aan die begin was dit nogal snaaks, want jy sien met jou oog twee beelde. Die een is ver en die een is naby. Totdat jou brein dit absorbeer en dit filter, en dan begin jy net een beeld sien. Dan kan jy naby lees en ver lees. So ek dra nie meer bril nie. Maar dit is heerlik om net een ding te kan sien. Ek kan ver kyk, naby kyk, ek sien net een beeld. En dit is wat Jesus hier met haplous bedoel. Een kyk, een visie, een heel kyk. Jy sien net een ding. Die woord in Grieks is baie nou verbonde met die woord teleios, wat heelheid beteken, wholeness. Ek dink daarom die 2020 vertaling waaruit ons gelees het van die Suid-Afrikaanse Bybelgenootskap dit vertaal met suiwer. Jou oog is suiwer. Maar is moeilik om te verstaan, wat is 'n suiwer oog? Maar dit is juist dit. Hy sien helder een beeld. Hy kyk nie dubbel nie. Wanneer Jesus dit dan hier gebruik, jou oog kyk heel, dan beteken dat dit gaan hier in hierdie konteks oor geld en besittings, goeders in hierdie wêreld, dat jou oog straal dan, as hy hierdie haplous uitstraal, hierdie generosity, hierdie, dan met vrygewigheid en met goedheid, met heelheid. Dis iets goeds wat uit jou oog uitstraal, wanneer jy kyk hierna. Of jy nou na 'n bankrekening kyk, wat in die rooi is, of wat nie geld in het nie, of jy kyk na 'n mooi ding wat jy graag wil hê, jy kyk op 'n goeie manier, jy word nie beheer deur dit nie. Daar is 'n, soos Paulus skryf, wanneer die Gees het ons vry gemaak, daar is 'n vryheid, wat jy kyk na hierdie dinge, nie, o jene, hoe gaan ek dit doen, wat gaan hier gebeur, met die vrees, want Jesus gaan net na hierdie woorde, en ons gaan in die volgende weke daarna kyk, sê, wat help het jou om te bekommer, maar hy begin om te sê, hoe kyk jy, wat kom uit jou oog, wat is in jou hart, een vrygewigheid, een oopheid, een vryheid, een goedheid, een heelheid. Want daar dat Jesus nou net gesê het, om 'n skat in die hemel te hê, in plaas van op aarde. En ons het heeltemal daarmee saamgestem, nee. Ons wil nie waar mot en roes verniel op aarde skatte by mekaar hê nie. Ons wil dit in die hemel hê. Maar is maklik om dit te sê. Maar as ek nou kyk, en ek sien daar is nie geld nie, of ek sien daar is baie geld wat ek kan op hierdie manier kry, of ek sien nie al hierdie goeders, die mense noem het selfs shopping therapy, want jy kan nou net so bietjie jou hart rustig maak om 'n klopje goed te gaan koop. Jesus sê, om 'n skat in die hemel te hê, dis waaroor dit gaan. En waar jou skat is, daar is jou hart. Hemel beteken by die Here, nee, in die Here. Sy koninkryk. En nou sien ons, dat jou oog straal uit waar jou hart is. Hoe jy na dinge kyk. Wat is dit wat jou beheer? Iets buite jou? Of die gees van God binne jou? En dit kom uit hoe jy geld en besittings hanteer. Ach, ek sien so dikwels hoe mense onderdruk is en dan gaan dan mense hard uit na elkeen. En die finansiële druk wat soveel mense kry so swaar. Maar dan wanneer jy met mense praat of wanneer hulle praat en reageer op dinge, dan hoor jy waar is die hart. Dis waarna die Here wys. Wat is die, is dit lig wat uit jou straal? Wanneer jy kyk, wanneer ander na jou kyk, is dit die lig in jou wat uitstraal? Of is dit die donkerte? Maar kom ons luister eers na musiek, dan gaan ons verder hieroor gesels. Bly ingeskakel. Welkom terug in hierdie heerlike gesprek in die woorde van Jesus in die bergrede. Matteus 6 vers 22-23. Die oog wat die lamp is van die liggaam. As jou oog suiwer is, jou hele liggaam verlig. As jou oog boos is, is jou hele liggaam donker. Jesus kontrasteer dus hierdie helder heel oog met die bose oog. Die bose oog, die oog met donkerte in. En dit is in die ou wêreld, in die Ou Testament wêreld, alreeds geassosieer met suinigheid, met gierigheid. As dit gaan oor besittings of geld, en dit kan julle gaan lees in een hoofstuk, bijvoorbeeld soos Deuteronomium 15 vers 9, moet nie dat jou oog boos wees wanneer die 7de jaar, die jaar waar alles teruggegee word, waar jy vrygeskeld word van skuld, en jy sien hierdie jaar kom aan en jy sien jy moet nou hierdie goed teruggee, en weggee, dan word jou oog donker, gierig, suinig, as het gaan oor besittings, dis so makkelijk, en dis so makkelijk vir jou en my ook vandag, wanneer jy dink jy gaan nou iets verloor hier, om dit nie maar net prijs te gee nie, maar dan vast te hou, want jy wil het hee, jy is bang, jy verloor dit, en wat gaan met jou gebeur dan? So, Jesus wys vir ons die teenoorgestelde van hierdie suiwer een heel kyk wat jou oog kan doen, vrygewig te wees, en die teenoorgestelde daarvan is boos en gierig te wees. Die een die lig wat uitstraal en lig wat dan inkom, al is dit dan nie goeie nuus nie, maar dit word lig in jou, want jy die lewe van die Here, jy is vry. Die ander is duisternis, jy kan nie albei hê nie. Vroeger het die Here gewys, dis kan heiligheid. Dit is om dubbel te kyk, dis wat hy hier vir ons sê. Dis om voor te gee, en dan kom die lig nie uit jou oog nie. Die Here toets ons, wanneer ons in moeilike situasies, omstandighede kom. En dit is so opmerklik, as ek nou met die geselsoek hieroor, dan kom die woorde van Job so na vore, aan die einde van het alles, al die slechte goed wat met hom gebeur het, en hy bly vasthou het aan die Here. Daar was 'n oomblik wat hy, wat daar bietjie by die duisternis was by hom, wanneer hy sy geboortedag vervloek. Maar dan uiteindelik, wanneer die Here vir hom wys, kyk hier, Job, kyk wat het ek gedoen, kyk hier die skepping, kyk alles wat ek geskape het, ek is die Here, ek is die God. En dan wanneer Job dan die Here sien, want hy sê, nou het ek u gesien, wanneer hy met sy oogdes sien, dan word alles lig in hom. Wow, hoe kyk jy en ek? Jesus pas dit toe. Hierdie twee kan nie saam wees, die lig en duisternis. Jy kan nie God en Mammon saam dien nie, ons gaan volgende week daarna kyk. So my liewe luisteraar, straal jou oog lig uit of duisternis. Onthou, jy kan dit nie forceer nie, dit wat in jou hart is, dit kom uit deur jou oog. Want dit wys wat is binne. En wanneer jou oog goed is, en een kyk, dan kan dit selfs sleg wees in hierdie wêreld, maar jy bring dit in, en jy word nie gevange geneem daardeur nie, want jy is vry. Wat is in jou hart, sê Jesus, wat is binne in jou, jou denke, jou begeertes, jou vrese? Het jy die lewe in Jesus ontvang, sy geregtigheid deur die geloof, woon die Gees in jou dus, wat hy in jou gegee het, jou vervul mee, en straal jou oog dit uit, want jy ontvang dit alles deur die geloof, is nie dinge wat jy kan doen, en verkry self nie, nee. En dan wat uit jou oog uitstraal is, volgens hierdie woorde van Jesus, is vrygewigheid, heelheid, lewe, liefde, hemels. As jy nie die lewe van Jesus ontvang het deur die geloof nie, dan is die duisternis buitekant en die duisternis binne jou. En dan is dit baie donker. Dis wat Jesus sê, hoe donker is dit dan nie? Want dan is dit in jou donkerheid, skierigheid, selfgerigtheid, wat aangedryf word deur die vrees, begeerte. Liewe luisteraar, Jesus roep jou nou met hierdie woorde, kom draai na my, ontvang wat ek vir jou gee, ek het jou lief, hier is het, ontvang hierdie lewe, my geregtigheid, my koninkryk, en laat dit in jou hart lewe, so dat jou oog dit kan uitstraal. Kom na hom toe, en ontvang die lig in die lewe, en jy sal anders kyk, na alles in hierdie wêreld, die goeie en die slegte. Heer, ons ontvang dit van u alleen. U gee dit vir ons. En ons is so honger en dorst daarvoor, Heere. Ons is so arm van gees. En ons wil lig hê in ons lewe. En ons dink baie keer dat lig in ons lewe beteken geld en besittings en al hierdie dinge. En dit is dit nie. Dit bring nie lig nie. Ja, dis die helder skyn liggies, wat eintlik donkerte is. Ons vra vir jy, die Gees, skenk aan my die lewe, dat ek dit sal uitstraal. Ons bly dit by jy, en ons dankie daarvoor, want U wil dit gee. Want ons wil lig wees, 'n lig bo op 'n berg, 'n lig wat uit ons oë straal, ook in die donker valleie van die lewe. Laat ons dan lewe deur U, want U is ons Here, Jesus Christus. Amen. Dit was heerlik om saam met jou hierdie tyd deur te bring en te reflekteer op die woorde van Jesus. Selfs die potgooi van Bible Projects en dit wat ons hier gemediteer het en reflekteer het, daar is nog soveel meer wat hier lê in hierdie woorde. So mediteer daarop, dink daaroor, dink oor jou lewe en lewe die lewe wat die Here gee. Tot volgende week. Tot ziens.
Hierdie inset was aan jou gebring met die komplimente van Radio Kaapse Kansel 729 AM. Besoek ons gerus by www.capepulpit.co.za.